Alabama and six other states recently filed a lawsuit to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA. The Obama-era program protects about 700,000 young immigrants from deportation, roughly 24,000 of these so-called dreamers in the state of Georgia. Valentina Emilia Garcia-Gonzalez is among them, and she's been on Second Thought in the past and joins us again. So welcome back, Valentina.
Thank you for having me again.
So the last time you came on the show, you were waiting for your DACA renewal. Do you have an update?
I do. So I thankfully received my DACA renewal, and I'm very happy to say that it's been extended for another 2 years. So that's another weight lifted off my shoulders.
For our listeners who might be meeting you for the first time, take us back and tell us a little bit about your arrival in the U.S. First, how old were you?
So I was 6 years old when I immigrated from Uruguay, and I came straight to Georgia, and I've lived in Georgia ever since. Our family that migrated was just me, my mom, and my younger brother. And we met up with my father, who had been here May of 2002, and we came here September of 2002. And we have lived in Gwinnett County ever since.
So what was it like living in Gwinnett County for you?
It was nice. I think that being around, since Gwinnett is like a very diverse county with a very good amount of Latinx people, it felt welcoming, and, you know, it wasn't that hard of a transition. We briefly moved to Kennesaw about a year or two ago, and we could feel like the change, where it was not the same as Gwinnett. Cobb County also has heavy police presence. So for us, it was a really hard transition to go from Gwinnett, where we had established this schedule, I guess I would say, of when to be outside, at what time, who was driving the car. And when we were in Cobb County, it was completely different. It was a constant, just anxiety-ridden day of, like, when my dad would go out, like, constant updates. He downloaded this app called Zillow, which is amazing, and he would report, like, literally road by road, street by street, where he was. And my mom, every single day to this day, follows him to make sure that he's okay and that he gets to work without being stopped by the police.
What does he do for work?
So my dad does this, like, cable thing. Like, he sets up security cameras and, like, electric wiring in buildings that are being built.
That's pretty stressful sounding. How about for you, who were one of those people covered in the DACA program? What did it feel like for you to wait for that authorization to stay?
It was hard because I think for a while I thought it was very superficial for me to worry so much about it, even though, like, I was already covered. It's just knowing that my time was coming up, right? And knowing that, you know, DACA is done. It was like people don't want it. And so it was, information was being thrown everywhere. Like, don't renew, don't file a renewal because it won't get, like, you're going to be wasting your money. Or do file your renewal because a judge stopped it. So you can definitely do a renewal. At the time when, so this winter term, so for Dartmouth, we have a quarter system. I was home from Thanksgiving up until March. I was in Georgia, and I was working, I was interning at Cook Baxter Immigration, and we had every single day, like, we were reading the news. Every month we had, like, a briefing, and in the first month that I was there, the attorneys were like, if you have DACA, renew it right now. And I did. So I took the leap, and my wallet cried a little bit, but we paid the fees for my brother, and thankfully the company paid my fees for my DACA renewal. And I filed, and I filed my brother's myself, and it was just a waiting game at that point, right? We were looking at the news every day, and we were just wondering, like, did we just waste our money? Will this be worse? Like, will this, like, these new renewals, would these be on file as people who are still in the country and wanting to renew? Like, would I be one of those people that is sought after by ICE, especially after news were coming out that ICE was apprehending and deporting DACA recipients too at this point? It was just really hard. But I thought for a while it was very superficial because my biggest concern was my graduation next year. So I graduate from Dartmouth College next year in 2019 in June. And before my DACA renewal got approved, my DACA was going to expire this year in September. And I was constantly worried about, well, who's going to drive up my parents for my graduation, right? Who, like, what am I going to do for them to see the fruits of their labor? Because my parents immigrated to this country for a better future for myself and my brother. And here I am, the first of my family to graduate high school and to go to college, and not just any college, like a prestigious Ivy League. And I'm finishing, like I'm about to graduate, and they can't even see that, right? And so that was what was on my mind a lot, is I really wanted DACA, one, to work and to help my family out from here. So I have about three to four jobs every term at Dartmouth, and I help my family out. And it's like, if I can't work, then how will like my family keep going? It's things like that, right, that people don't really think about. But thankfully, I got it renewed. And since I renewed early, it's not a complete 2 years from September. Like, I think I lost about 5 months. So it's only like a year and 7 months of renewal. But hey, it's something.
Right. And last time you were on Second Thought, you said that one of your fellow students had threatened to call ICE. Did that ever happen, or was that just a threat?
It was just a threat, thankfully. I think that was my freshman year, and it was hard. I think the political climate at that time, it was something that I didn't expect. I thought coming to Dartmouth, it was going to be very liberal, and everyone was like very like forward. You know, I saw like gender inclusive restrooms that just like don't exist in Georgia. So I was like, wow, like this is so progressive, this is so liberal, it's going to be great. And that's not the case, you know, and I learned really quickly that's not the case.
Has that happened since from any other students?
Once Trump got elected, there was an incident that I was a part of, and the house that I lived in was a part of, where there were students driving by in a car shouting pro-Trump, anti-immigrant things. They stopped in front of my house, which at the time that I was living is called La Casa. So it's the house, and it's under the Spanish and Portuguese department. And it was a very targeted attack, right? And it was really hard. Thankfully, I wasn't in the house at the time that it happened, but it was very scary to know that I could be walking around campus, at that time at least, and there are students that feel this way and that will act this way, right? So I would walk around campus just very anxious all the time, and I was just very scared that someone would say something to me or someone would hurt me physically. I had previously talked to like the media specialist or in the Office of Communications at Dartmouth. And this woman had said, after I started getting a lot more attention from the media of being like an out undocumented student at Dartmouth and in New Hampshire, she told me that, you know, you have to be careful what you say, because this is an open campus. Someone can recognize you across the street and they can be carrying a gun and they can hurt you. And I don't think she meant to necessarily scare me or try to stop me from what I was saying or like my message, but it's something that I carry with me every single day. And every time I do speak publicly about my status. So a couple weeks ago, I gave a TEDx talk here at Dartmouth, and I talked about, you know, being undocumented and contextualizing illegality and the whole anti-immigrant rhetoric here in the United States. And I talked to people and I was just like, I don't think you realize the fact that I'm risking my life talking about this, because this TEDx talk, yes, is happening at Dartmouth and people are going to come to it, but it's going to be global. So people are going to know my name. They're going to know what I look like. They're going to know that I am undocumented, and they can very easily find me in the side of the road or come up to me. You know, it's very real. And it's something that I carry with me every time I walk outside of my room and I go get food or I go to work. It's something that I'm very hypervigilant about. And it wears on you. I think that being here at Dartmouth, being around a majority of white people, whereas in Gwinnett, that's not the case, it's worn heavily on me, how I move about space, what I say, who I'm with. And it's just very draining emotionally and mentally.
I'm speaking with Valentina Emilia Garcia-Gonzalez. She is a young dreamer who grew up mostly in Georgia. She's now a student at Dartmouth College. Well, in addition to that felt anxiety, you told our producer about a trauma that you experienced at Dartmouth. Are you able to talk about what happened?
Yeah. So I, last year, during the summer, I was raped in my dorm room by a fellow student, someone who was my friend. And I was really taken aback by it. And I didn't know what to do because when I was younger, when I was 15 in Georgia, I was raped the first time of my life. Like, my virginity was taken, and I don't think it was taken. You know, I lost that. And when I went to press charges the first time when I was 15, the police officer that I was reporting to blamed me for my own assault and was like, well, you're undocumented, so if we press forward, like, I have to have your information, and you don't have much information for me to go off of, so this is a risk for you and your family, right? And so when this happened last year, I kept replaying that. I kept thinking, like, if I report this, if I press charges against this person, will I be retaliated against? And this is going off of the history of, like, my first year at Dartmouth, even me just proposing to run for student body president or student council. I was threatened by another student to have immigration called on me. So I was scared of, like, if I press charges against this individual, would they call immigration on me and to retaliate? Or would his friends, or would people that align with him or his friends, or I don't know, would they call immigration on me? So what I ended up doing instead was I gave a report to the Grafton County Police, and I gave a report to Title IX at Dartmouth. And I decided not to press charges because I was really afraid of retaliation. I was really afraid of nothing coming about it either. You know, we talk a lot about sexual assault here at Dartmouth and just, you know, in general. The thing is that it feels like sometimes nothing comes about it. And I feel like if I had pressed charges against him and he didn't go to jail or he didn't have the appropriate consequences, I feel like my trauma would not have been enough or valid enough to warrant, you know, action. So instead, I focused on going to counseling and trying to be as mentally okay about what happened as possible. But I think, you know, it's almost a year that this happened. Like, I still have very bad PTSD flashbacks about it. And I think it's hard to, as an immigrant, especially as an undocumented immigrant in the United States, to feel safe in this trauma and this assault kind of, like, exacerbated that. When I already don't feel safe walking around campus because I'm scared that someone's going to recognize me and, you know that I'm undocumented and do something to me. And now at night, I'm scared, you know, walking back from the library or to my dorm of, like, being assaulted again.
That's Valentina Gonzalez. She's a young dreamer who grew up in Gwinnett County. She now attends Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. There are a lot of people who would say, well, you shouldn't be in this country. I mean, what do you say to those who would question, first of all, the DACA program, or to say that this is a consequence of being here illegally?
The concept of illegality is very embedded into the American history. The concept of illegality and who we deem as illegal and who we deem as belonging and not belonging is very interesting to think about, because I haven't had many people come up to me and say things like, you shouldn't be in this country because of the way I look. I'm very white passing. I can speak English very well. Like, I'm at a prestigious Ivy League. If anything, people would say, well, she deserves to be here. Out of all these immigrants, she can be here. She can stay. Right. And I think it's a very toxic message, especially with the whole dreamer rhetoric, right, of who is more deserving of being in this country and who is not. And that, again, aligns to specific images and specific goals that the American history and American public wants. But when it comes to, like, I shouldn't be here, I think people really need to look at the history of these countries that people are immigrating from, like Central America, South America, the Caribbean, other countries, of course. These people are fleeing their own countries for a specific reason. And they're seeking solace. They're seeking a safe haven because they can't find that at home. No one would uproot themselves and their family and leave absolutely everything behind if it wasn't absolutely necessary, right? And for someone to say you shouldn't be here, you shouldn't even exist in this country, is a fault of empathy and sympathy more than anything else, and that has been exacerbated by immigration policies and institutions here in the United States. And I think that's something that I as an individual can talk at length about, but it's an institutional thing. It's a power dynamic that goes beyond myself as an individual. And it is exacerbated by the policies, is exacerbated by people in power, in political power, that kind of dominate and help allow people to think a certain way, right? Like the whole fake news propaganda of how specific stories are spun to demonize and to criminalize immigrants. That's what it comes from. Like, that's where it comes from. That's where this anti-immigrant sentiment comes from. It's hard. It's hard for me as a 22-year-old individual to try to stir empathy and sympathy from someone who does not get it, right? I can talk at length about my experiences in this country. I could try to explain how it feels. I could try to explain why my parents came here and why they felt the need to completely uproot themselves. But at the end of the day, if you're not capable of empathy and sympathy, you won't get it, right? People are fleeing for a reason, and it's a very good reason. And if, you know, if America didn't boast very blindly about how great it was, quote unquote, then people wouldn't be coming here. But since immigrating, my family has conditioned me and my brother to be afraid and be cautious all the time. And I don't resent them. I don't resent my parents for that at all. I think it's just a collateral kind of consequence that comes with being an undocumented immigrant is like the anxiety and the fear that comes along with it, especially in a state like Georgia that's very anti-immigrant.
Well, Valentina, you said you grew up with the anxiety inherited, I think, by your parents. And on top of that, you've had this recent and regrettable, terrible trauma. You said you're doing counseling now. Briefly, can you tell me, how do you feel that's working?
I think I'm very privileged to be able to go to counseling, because prior to coming to Dartmouth, I didn't have health insurance like many undocumented people here. And so I could not have this resource of therapy, of counseling. So I think a lot about, if I wasn't at Dartmouth and this happened to me, like, how would I be dealing with this? Like, would I be dead? You know, like, would I have gotten so overwhelmed with all this trauma and all these emotions that I would have killed myself? And I think it's pervasive, especially in undocumented immigrant communities where we don't have access to healthcare. We don't have access to these mental health resources. So our mental health suffers greatly. And so I think that, you know, thankfully I have the privilege of being at Dartmouth, and I have the privilege of having counseling and going through therapy and trying medication out for my diagnoses. I think it's going well. I think that I have, you know, not every day is a good day, but I have the resources that can help me be better and get the tools that I need to go about space and go about the rest of my life as fulfilling and as holy as I can.
Valentina, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
For sure. Thank you so much.
That's Valentina Gonzalez. She's a young dreamer who grew up in Gwinnett County. She attends Dartmouth College in New Hampshire.